Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. The last time I was here, it was about this many people. So to see all of this is just incredible. And I don't know about you guys, but to enjoy two of my favorite things, first of all, Jesus, second of all, the beach. So those two things put together make for an amazing morning. And I couldn't help, after listening to the worship and just standing over there and looking out at this crowd, thinking that this is probably what it was like when Jesus was here. Not the seats and not the speakers and the microphone, but that people just coming and walking just to hear Jesus speak. And so what I'm going to do today is just step aside and allow Jesus to speak through me. And so before I begin, I'm just going to pray over you guys and just over this morning. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine and the waves in the background. Thank you for every single person here today, Lord. I pray that you would impact them in a way that they would never believe possible, Lord. Thank you for all that you are doing and all that you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, as you can tell, I am not a pastor and I'm not a preacher. I'm 21 years old and I'm just here to share the story that God has given me. And although I am young, God has allowed me to walk through very deep waters, but he has also taught me what it looks like to be on the mountain and to see his glory. And so I'm just going to start at the beginning. Most of you know that I was born into this family called the Kelly family. And in Western New York and in parts of Canada, we have lots of Bills fans. And so I grew up in Orchard Park, New York, just around the Bills stadium and just around that whole mantra of the Kelly family and everything like that. And so my mother, as many of you probably have heard her speak before, she shares that I was born before my parents were married. I was born during my dad's career. I don't remember him playing, though I wish I had. But at the same time, I just was born into this famous family. And so God has just blessed our family with a platform to give him honor and glory. And so although my parents were not married when I was born, I believe that God has redeemed that choice that they have made and that I'm able to now speak of what God has done in our family. And 2 years after I was born, my parents were married a year after I was born, and then a year later, my brother Hunter was born. And my brother Hunter was born with a disease called Krabbe leukodystrophy, and what happens is it affects your entire body. He was never able to move or walk or speak or smile on his own. And so that took a toll on our family, and we had to care for my younger brother, who was really dying every single day. And it took a while to actually believe that he was actually living, because we were told to take him home and to take care of him until he would pass away, because this was a fatal disease. But as soon as my mother gave her life to Christ, we started treating Hunter like he was living, because he was. And God did so much in and through our family. And while my mother and my grandmother were taking care of Hunter and walking towards God, my dad was walking in the opposite direction. And so that took a toll on my parents' relationship. And I watched this all happen as a young girl. But I watched intently my mother and my grandmother and how they loved Jesus with all that they were. And how joy filled our house in the midst of pain and sorrow and death. And that is only Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. So at the young age of 5, I chose to accept Jesus into my heart. And although at that point in time, I didn't know all that it meant to give my life to Christ. And I believe here on this earth, we will never know the fullness of what it means to give our life to Christ until we're in heaven with him one day. But at that point, I just chose, okay, I want to live my life for Jesus. I want to have this joy. I want to have this life that comes with being a Christian. And so I gave my life to Christ at 5. And then when I was 10 years old, my brother Hunter went to heaven. And I'll never forget that day. It is the hardest day that I've ever experienced. But I learned so much through Hunter's life, so much about joy and so much about strength and toughness in the midst of so much weakness. And so as hard as it was to lose my brother Hunter, and it's still hard to this day, but God gave us Hunter for a reason, because without him, I probably wouldn't be standing here before you today. I know I wouldn't be standing here before you today. Because it is through his life that I was able to see Christ and all that he has done for me. And so after Hunter went to heaven, My dad went farther and farther away from Jesus, but I continued to pray. I continued to ask God to save my earthly father. And so we continued to just seek after God, and I just, as a young girl, I had this heart that was on fire for Jesus. I remember it, just wanting so badly to know him more. And at that point in time, and when Hunter was here, I really didn't fear. I didn't have any fear of what the future would hold or what would happen to Hunter, because I was just so wrapped up in Jesus. And then later in life, when my father had cancer, I would experience that fear. But God was preparing me for that day in and day out. And when I was 13 years old, I made the commitment to remain pure until marriage. And that is not something that I chose to do because the church says you should do it, or as a Christian, they say you should do it. That is not why I chose to do that. I chose that because ultimately one day I want to stand before my husband and say that I saved myself for him, and to just honor my heavenly father and my earthly father. And I had seen that the choices that my parents had made and how they had affected their relationship, and I wanted to be different, and I wanted to save myself for that man one day. And so with that, and just continuing to grow and grow in my relationship with Christ, I went to high school and went through high school and played basketball and just enjoyed knowing Jesus more. And then I went into college, and my freshman year of college was one of the hardest years of my life. I'm a very family-oriented person. And so when I went to college at Liberty University in Virginia, it was a huge transition having to leave my home and leave my family. And the first semester was extremely hard, and I wanted to quit, and I wanted to go home, but my mom stuck with it and made me stay. So, and I thank her for that now. But and then the second semester is when everything changed, and when my faith really was tested. My mother and I had gone on an Israel trip with my school. It was an Israel tour, and we were there, and my dad had experienced some pain in his mouth. He was diagnosed with cancer the year before, but they just took it out, and it was surgery, and it was no big deal. And in my mind, I was like, okay, well, never have to think about that again. We are never going to have to deal with cancer in the Kelly family ever again. And so I dismissed that and just never thought about it until we were walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and my mother got a phone call from my Uncle Dan, who is pretty much my dad's right-hand man. And we weren't receiving phone calls over there, and so it was odd that the phone call even got through. So my mom answered it, and I'll never forget, she was standing in the corner, and the day was dreary and rainy, and we found out that day that my dad's cancer had returned, and that it was aggressive, and they would need to take action quickly. And so going from there, I was scared out of my mind, and I remembered not having that fear when I was little, having this faith like a child. And now I was growing up, and this fear was very real. And I had to just struggle between my fear and my faith. And I had to go back to school, and my mom went home, and my dad ended up getting treatment, radiation, and chemo in New York City. And so every weekend, my parents would fly me back and forth to New York City so I could be with my dad, because we really didn't know what was gonna happen. We didn't know what the end was gonna look like. And I was scared. I didn't wanna lose the most important man in my life. And I struggled with thinking, okay, who's going to walk me down the aisle one day if my dad's not here? Who's going to take care of my mom and my sister? And so those thoughts were extremely real, and I just remember sitting by his bedside and wondering time after time, is this going to be the last time? And on this day, right now, my dad is cancer-free, praise God. But there's still a struggle. Every single day, we still have to trust God with the results, because he still deals with the pain of it all. And but through that journey, I had to trust my Heavenly Father. I had to look to the strength of my Heavenly Father when my earthly father was as weak as can be. I don't remember my dad ever being so weak, but it was amazing to see how God's strength totally enraptured him, and that he totally took care of him and our family. And we learned that in the midst of this, that we need to trust the one who holds it all together, who holds our lives in our hands. And one thing I learned, the most important thing that I learned through this journey of watching my dad go through cancer, is while we were waiting for the results to see that if he was cancer-free, if the cancer was gone, and if the treatment had worked, I felt like God said to me, Aaron, do you still believe that I'm good, even if? And we all have our even ifs. Even if this doesn't happen, even if this job doesn't work out, even if you're not cancer-free, even if your marriage doesn't work out, do you still believe that I'm good? And I wrestled with that. I wrestled with, okay, if you are going to take my father from me, do I still believe that you're good? Do I still believe that you are sovereign and in control of my life and his life ultimately? And I came to the point where I could say, Lord, even if this doesn't turn out the way that I hope and the way that I long and the way that hundreds and thousands of people have prayed for, that I still believe that you're good. Because if he's a good God, he's good no matter what. And so, and actually recently, and you know, my dad has to get scans every few months to make sure that the cancer is still gone. But last week, actually, I kind of was reminded of this thing that is, okay, do you still believe that I'm good? I really had to wrestle with this this last week, because my mom and I were on a walk just around our neighborhood, and we were just talking about life and everything that's going on with our family. And she missed a phone call, but my dad left a voicemail on her phone. And in the voicemail, it sounded like he was crying. And my dad doesn't cry very often. And so we were extremely worried, and we both, and he said that my Uncle Dan had talked to the doctor again. And my mom and I just stopped, and we just started to bawl and just started to cry out to God. And I remember just walking and waiting for him to call us back, because we had tried to call him over and over again, and he wasn't answering. And I remember just walking and continuing to walk and feeling anger and just frustration, like, why? This cannot happen again. This cannot happen again. And the Lord reminded me, Aaron, do you still believe that I'm good? Do you still believe that I've got this? And I really had to trust him with it. And so the results are that, well, the last results were that he's cancer-free, but they want to do some more tests, and he has to get biopsies actually Thursday. So be praying for him and be praying for that. But I'm holding on to the fact that God is good. And if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then you believe that no matter what, that he's got you and he holds you, and that you're here for a reason, that you're here for a purpose. And so that is just where God has brought me thus far. And I am going to Liberty University for my senior year and trusting God with all that he has planned. He has laid a lot of different things on my heart. And so I'm going to start writing again and just giving him my all and going back to what I know that is true and trusting him no matter what. And so thank you so much for just being here. And before we close and before they come back up to worship again, I just want to pray for all of you. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you are good, that you are in control, that you are love, that you love each and every single person in this room. And Lord, I pray that every single person sitting here, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you're good, that you've got this, that you're here in this moment, and that you go with them wherever they go. Lord, thank you for just who you are and for dying for us and for dying so that we can live here and that we can sit on this beach with our toes in the sand and just feel the breeze. Thank you for your peace. Lord, I pray that everyone would go out of here today with a peace that surpasses all understanding. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Aaron. Just before you go, let me just ask you one question. There may be some here today who have not yet walked in your shoes, but God forbid may soon be in that place, or are in your shoes for the very first time. Meaning, you know, when your dad was in the hospital in New York City and there was that sense of desperation, God, you've got to work, you've got to do something. I can't afford to lose this man who's so precious to me. It's that feeling of, uh-oh, what if? And maybe somebody's in a marriage situation that seems like, uh-oh, what if this doesn't work out? Or it's a health diagnosis. Maybe it's financial. But it's for the first time they're faced with this, can I trust God? Is he faithful kind of question. What would you say to encourage anybody today on that question alone? Because there are some who've come here today to worship and just enjoy the beach. And there are others who've come and brought a burden with them. They'd really love to just lay at the feet of a faithful God.
I would say first and foremost, in God's word, he says that he holds us. And my favorite verse is Exodus 14:14, and it says to just be still because I fight for you. And I believe that to be true. That doesn't mean that you don't go about your life and that you don't live, but that you take moments to be still before God. Because I believe that in those moments of stillness, he shows you more of who he is. And that in the stillness of his presence, he fights for us. So no matter what the what if is or whatever we're going through, that he's fighting for you, that he's got your back. So, and that's the hope that I have, that, you know, while my dad was fighting cancer, that it was really God fighting for him. And that he fights for us day in and day out, and that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf, no matter what.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Aaron. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Aaron. When I was in grade four, wasn't a huge football fan, but one of my best friends was a Cowboys fan, and my other best friend was a Bills fan, so I had a choice to make. Growing up in Windsor, it's funny, none of us were Detroit Lions fans. Sorry if there's any Lions fans here, but so my mom bought me this Bills jacket, and I knew nothing about football except Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas. I knew two names. And so how funny that all these years later, I'm serving with your family. I still don't know too much about football, but I know I'm a huge fan of your dad and you and your mom, especially after hearing your story. I just think looking back, it's actually amazing to think about all the times we've been rescued or given hope or lifted out of situations that seemed impossible. And I've just seen too much proof of the existence of God in my life to ever doubt him again. His faithfulness, his kindness, his mercy on me. I'm a recovering dum-dum, and I'm so thankful for the faithfulness of God. And so this song is called Faithful.
You've been good, you've been gracious, I rely on you. When others have come and gone, Lord, only you remain. You have been so broken step made right. Would you help my wounded heart believe? Just as I am, you came for me. You redeem, make us whole again. Only you can say, God of love, never failing, you will never change. You have been so faithful. Would you help my wounded heart believe? Just as I am, you came for me. Oh, broken bodies and bleeding hearts, they find redemption. Home to you. Oh, broken bodies and bleeding hearts, how they find redemption in your arms. Oh, lost children coming home to you. Oh, instead made right. Lord, would you help my broken heart believe just as I am, you came for me. Just as I am, oh, you came for me.
Amen.
You know, maybe that's the refrain in your mind today, Lord, I do need you. And you realize that the situation you're in is one that you're in so that you can call out to God. You know, we were meant for dependence, and that's honestly a word that is kind of central to the whole book, Kelly Tuff, that Aaron wrote, because, you know, Greg, you mentioned seeing Jim Kelly play football when he was a star on the Bills, and Aaron, you didn't have that privilege. I'm sure you've seen a few highlights, you know, but the thing about Jim Kelly was every time he got knocked down, he got back up. But there comes a day when you get knocked down, whether it's relational or spiritual or physical or financial, whatever it is, you get knocked down and you can't get back up. And in that moment, that's the time when we realize we can't do this thing alone. We were created for dependence upon God. And Kelly Tuff is about learning how to reach out and grab hold of who Jesus is. And so maybe what's going around in your mind today is how much you need the Lord. Pastor Dave Stevenson was on the air with me talking about Church on the Beach this week. He's a local pastor here, and he told a story about, you know, kind of holding God at arm's length, but he had a friend who kept speaking into his life and kept reaching out to him and kept inviting him to receive Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him or her and will dine with them. I will have a relationship with them." But you know, the handle to that door is on the inside. God is a gentleman. He never forces his way in. But on the day we recognize that we need the Lord, he's standing outside the door if we'll only open it. And a number of years ago, Pastor Dave prayed and received Christ, and that friend came along one day and said, "How you doing?" And he said, "Well, you know, remember how you always told me about Jesus knocking at the door of my life, the door of my heart?" He said, "Well, today I opened the door." And maybe today's the day to open the door and say, "Lord, I need you. And I've lived with you at arm's length. I've kind of worshiped you from a distance like you're this God out there, but I need to know you like Aaron Kelly knows you, like Jill Kelly knows you, like Greg Sykes knows you. I need to have a relationship with you. I want that relationship that you're inviting me to enjoy, but I've never opened the door." So if that's the prayer of your heart, as we close here, I'm just going to ask any of you who want to meet Jesus for the very first time, or you want to reconnect with him because it's been so long since you've been walking with him, just come on over here on the other side of these rocks and we'll spend some time talking with you. Nobody will bite you over there. It's not like, you know, a dangerous place. It's a safe place. It's an opportunity for us to just spend a little time with you. Others may be thinking about publicly demonstrating the faith you already have in Christ. Jesus is your Savior, and later this summer you want others to know that you're wearing God's jersey, not a Bills jersey, but you're on God's team, that you've received Jesus as your Savior, and that's what baptism is. It'll give you an opportunity later this year to publicly identify with the one who died and was buried and rose again on your behalf. And we're going to have a baptism service on July 31st, another one the last week of August that you're welcome to participate in. So you can come and talk to us about that as well. But we want to encourage you as we close in prayer to just get to know some folks around you. Say hi, because you're probably going to see him again later this summer. And just know that you're part of a family here, that we love having you, and we love having you be a part of this special service with us. So Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've blessed us today by your presence. Thank you for the word that you've spoken into our hearts. Thank you that we can know you and that you are real and that you hear and answer prayer. And Lord, wherever we're at today, we have deep needs in our life. We have a need to experience you in the midst of our pain and struggle. So show yourself strong, Lord. Teach us what it means to be strong because of you in our lives. It's in our brokenness, it's in our weakness that you come and show yourself strong. That's the kind of toughness we want. And so, Lord, teach us what that looks like in a relationship with you. Today, Lord, we acknowledge that we need you. all of us do. Whether we've prayed that prayer before or not, Lord, we need you to be good husbands and fathers, to be responsible citizens and good co-workers and good spouses, Lord, to really love others the way that you've loved us. We can't do that without you because that doesn't come natural to us. So, God, fill us with your life and your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.